Hello, and welcome to Stream Globe Daily Devotional. Your host is Pastor S.D. Abraham.
Today's Stream Globe Devotional is titled, Might Produces Understanding. Today's meditation was written by Abraham Damilola Arigi. We shall be taking our Bible reading from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 to 19. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. I have just read from the King James Version. After Gwemi accepted the Lord Jesus, she submitted to discipleship and was connected to Mrs. Anderson by the church's evangelism department. As Mrs. Anderson started to disciple Gwemi and teach her the way of the Lord, she observed that there were so many things Gwemi did not understand, and it appeared as if she could not understand them. For example, Gwemi could not understand why she was to love her enemies. She just could not understand that. She couldn't understand the love that God had for her, even though she believed it. Because Mrs. Anderson had experience in discipling people, she knew that what Gwemi needed the most was prayer. She would spend quality time each day praying for Gwemi, and her major prayer was that the Lord will strengthen her with might in the inner man. Mrs. Anderson understood that strength in the inner man would give Gwemi the ability and capacity for greater faith, so that she would be able to be filled with the presence of God in the measure that can transform her and help her understand the kingdom of God. We all have measures of the indwelling Holy Spirit. The day you accepted the Lord Jesus, you received a measure. The day you got baptized in the Holy Ghost, you received the higher measure. The more the words of Christ dwell in you richly, the more your measure increases. Colossians chapter 3 verse 16 and Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18 to 20 are saying the same thing. But in Colossians chapter 3 verse 16, we see that the way to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because Ephesians chapter 5 says that, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And then we see the definition according to Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 3 verse 16, how to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to stay filled with the Spirit. And he says in Colossians that let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. It's because of that that you begin to speak to others, you begin to speak to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, because the word of Christ is dwelling in you richly. As the Lord strengthens you by his Spirit with might in the inner man, this increases your capacity for faith and thus your capacity to be filled with the fullness of God. We see this in today's Bible text. It takes spiritual strength to host higher dimensions of the presence of God, the glory and power of God. Notice that in today's Bible verses, the result of might in the inner man is that Christ dwells in our hearts richly. And the product of this is the ability to comprehend the dimensions of the love of Christ. One of the easily discernible signs that your spirit has been strengthened and has increased in might is that your level of spiritual understanding would also be increasing. The commandments of the Lord that seem difficult will now be easy for you to understand and obey. They will no longer seem grievous. Go into today praying with today's Bible verses. Ask that the Lord will strengthen you with might in the inner man by his Spirit, so that your capacity to manifest the realities and power of the divine life would be upgraded. Use this time to pray for those who you disciple. You can say this prayer confession. I am strengthened by the Holy Spirit with might in the inner man. My capacity to express the glory of God is increasing. In Jesus' name. If you are listening to this and you are sick, I want to pray for you. And I want you to believe that you will receive your healing. Others have received their healing through this medium. And you will receive your healing today in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Father, I pray for everyone who is sick. I ask that your healing power will flow through this medium. I ask that your anointing will flow to them now and cause total healing in the name of Jesus. The Bible says that by his stripes you are healed. What that means is that Jesus has paid for your healing because of his suffering for you on the cross. Receive that healing now in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of infirmity is hereby cast out of your life and not permitted to return in the name of Jesus. Because you are applying your heart to the word of God, those spirits of infirmity are not permitted to return in the name of Jesus Christ. Receive your healing and begin to do the things you couldn't do before in Jesus' mighty name. As you check yourself and find that you are healed, send your testimony. Our numbers are at the end of today's devotional text. We would love to share in your joy and pray that your healing will be permanent in the name of Jesus. Stream Globe Devotional is non-denominational and interdenominational. Our yearly Bible plan for today shall be taken from Judges chapter 17 to chapter 21. Now, this Bible plan is continuous. What that means is that if you begin listening to Stream Globe Devotional today, for example, by this time next year, you would go through the Bible from cover to cover. We request that you kindly share this devotional with your friends and contacts and let us spread the light of God's word and bless lives together. The audio for today's yearly Bible plan reading comes up next. Judges chapter 17 to chapter 21.
Now a man named Micah from the hill country of Ephraim said to his mother,
the 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from you and about which I heard you utter a curse, I have that silver with me. I took it.
Then his mother said,
the Lord bless you, my son.
When he returned the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother, she said,
I solemnly consecrate my silver to the Lord for my son, to make an image overlaid with silver. I will give it back to you.
So after he returned the silver to his mother, she took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to a silversmith, who used them to make the idol. And it was put in Micah's house. Now this man Micah had a shrine, and he made an ephod and some household gods, and installed one of his sons as his priest. In those days Israel had no king. Everyone did as they saw fit. A young Levite from Bethlehem in Judah, who had been living within the clan of Judah, left that town in search of some other place to stay. On his way, he came to Micah's house in the hill country of Ephraim. Micah asked him,
where are you from?
I am a Levite from Bethlehem in Judah,
he said,
and I'm looking for a place to stay.
Then Micah said to him,
live with me and be my father and priest, and I'll give you 10 shekels of silver a year, your clothes and your food.
So the Levite agreed to live with him, and the young man became like one of his sons to him. Then Micah installed the Levite, and the young man became his priest and lived in his house. And Micah said,
now I know that the Lord will be good to me, since this Levite has become my priest.
In those days, Israel had no king. And in those days, the tribe of the Danites were seeking a place of their own where they might settle, because they had not yet come into an inheritance among the tribes of Israel. So the Danites sent 5 of their leading men from Zorah and Eshtaol to spy out the land and explore it. These men represented all the Danites. They told them,
go explore the land.
So they entered the hill country of Ephraim and came to the house of Micah, where they spent the night. When they were near Micah's house, they recognized the voice of the young Levite. So they turned in there and asked him,
"Who brought you here? What are you doing in this place? Why are you here?"
He told them what Micah had done for him and said,
"He has hired me and I am his priest."
Then they said to him,
"Please inquire of God to learn whether our journey will be successful."
The priest answered them,
"Go in peace. Your journey has the Lord's approval."
So the five men left and came to Laish, where they saw that the people were living in safety, like the Sidonians, unsuspecting and secure. And since their land lacked nothing, they were prosperous. Also, they lived a long way from the Sidonians and had no relationship with anyone else. When they returned to Zorah and Eshtaol, the Danites asked them,
"How did you find things?"
They answered,
"Come on, let's attack them. We have seen the land and it is very good. Aren't you going to do something? Don't hesitate to go there and take it over. When you get there, you will find an unsuspecting people and a spacious land that God has put into your hands. A land that lacks nothing whatever."
Then 600 men of the Danites, armed for battle, set out from Zorah and Eshtaol. On their way, they set up camp near Kiriath Jearim in Judah. This is why the place west of Kiriath Jearim is called Mahanah Dan to this day. From there, they went on to the hill country of Ephraim and came to Micah's house. Then the five men who had spied out the land of Laish said to their fellow Danites,
"Do you know that one of these houses has an ephod, some household gods, and an image overlaid with silver? Now you know what to do."
So they turned in there and went to the house of the young Levite at Micah's place and greeted him. The 600 Danites armed for battle stood at the entrance of the gate. The five men who had spied out the land went inside and took the idol, the ephod, and the household gods, while the priest and the 600 armed men stood at the entrance of the gate. When the five went into Micah's house and took the idol, the ephod, and the household gods, the priest said to them,
"What are you doing?"
They answered him,
"Be quiet. Don't say a word. Come with us and be our father and priest. Isn't it better that you serve a tribe and clan in Israel as priests rather than just one man's household?"
The priest was very pleased. He took the ephod, the household gods, and the idol, and went along with the people. Putting their little children, their livestock, and their possessions in front of them, they turned away and left. When they had gone some distance from Micah's house, the men who lived near Micah were called together and overtook the Danites. As they shouted after them, the Danites turned and said to Micah,
"What's the matter with you that you called out your men to fight?"
He replied,
"You took the gods I made and my priest and went away. What else do I have? How can you ask, 'What's the matter with you?'"
The Danites answered,
"Don't argue with us, or some of the men may get angry and attack you, and you and your family will lose your lives."
So the Danites went their way, and Micah, seeing that they were too strong for him, turned around and went back home. Then they took what Micah had made and his priest and went on to Laish against a peaceful and unsuspecting people. They attacked them with the sword and burned down their city. There was no one to rescue them because they lived a long way from Sidon and had no relationship with anyone else. The city was in a valley near Beth Rehob. The Danites rebuilt the city and settled there. They named it Dan, after their ancestor Dan, who was born to Israel, though the city used to be called Laish. There the Danites set up for themselves the idol, and Jonathan, son of Gershon, the son of Moses, and his sons were priests for the tribe of Dan until the time of the captivity of the land. They continued to use the idol Micah had made all the time the house of God was in Shiloh. In those days, Israel had no king. Now a Levite who lived in a remote area in the hill country of Ephraim took a concubine from Bethlehem in Judah. But she was unfaithful to him. She left him and went back to her parents' home in Bethlehem, Judah. After she had been there 4 months, her husband went to her to persuade her to return. He had with him his servant and 2 donkeys. She took him into her parents' home, and when her father saw him, he gladly welcomed him. His father-in-law, the woman's father, prevailed on him to stay. So he remained with him 3 days, eating and drinking and sleeping there. On the 4th day, they got up early, and he prepared to leave. But the woman's father said to his son-in-law,
"Refresh yourself with something to eat, then you can go."
So the 2 of them sat down to eat and drink together. Afterward, the woman's father said,
"Please, stay tonight and enjoy yourself."
And when the man got up to go, his father-in-law persuaded him, so he stayed there that night. On the morning of the 5th day, when he rose to go, the woman's father said,
"Refresh yourself. Wait till afternoon."
So the 2 of them ate together. Then when the man, with his concubine and his servant, got up to leave, his father-in-law, the woman's father, said,
"Now look, it's almost evening. Spend the night here. The day is nearly over. Stay and enjoy yourself. Early tomorrow morning, you can get up and be on your way home."
But unwilling to stay another night, the man left and went toward Jebus, that is, Jerusalem, with his 2 saddled donkeys and his concubine. When they were near Jebus and the day was almost gone, the servant said to his master,
"Come, let's stop at the city of the Jebusites and spend the night."
His master replied,
"No, we won't go into any city whose people are not Israelites. We will go on to Gibeah."
He added,
"Come, let's try to reach Gibeah or Ramah and spend the night in one of those places."
So they went on. And the sun set as they neared Gibeah in Benjamin. There they stopped to spend the night. They went and sat in the city square, but no one took them in for the night. That evening, an old man from the hill country of Ephraim, who was living in Gibeah, the inhabitants of the place were Benjamites, came in from his work in the field. When he looked and saw the traveler in the city square, the old man asked,
"Where are you going? Where did you come from?"
He answered,
"We are on our way from Bethlehem in Judah to a remote area in the hill country of Ephraim, where I live. I have been to Bethlehem in Judah, and now I am going to the house of the Lord. No one has taken me in for the night. We have both straw and fodder for our donkeys, and bread and wine for ourselves, your servants. Me, the woman, and the young man with us. We don't need anything."
"You are welcome at my house,"
the old man said.
"Let me supply whatever you need. Only don't spend the night in the square."
So he took him into his house and fed his donkeys. After they had washed their feet, they had something to eat and drink. While they were enjoying themselves, some of the wicked men of the city surrounded the house. Pounding on the door, they shouted to the old man who owned the house,
"Bring out the man who came to your house so we can have sex with him. Open this door."
The owner of the house went outside and said to them,
"No, my friends, don't be so vile. Since this man is my guest, don't do this outrageous thing. Look, here is my virgin daughter and his concubine. I will bring them out to you now, and you can use them and do to them whatever you wish. But as for this man, don't do such an outrageous thing."
But the men would not listen to him. So the man took his concubine and sent her outside to them. And they raped her and abused her throughout the night. And at dawn they let her go. At daybreak the woman went back to the house where her master was staying, fell down at the door, and lay there until daylight. When her master got up in the morning and opened the door of the house and stepped out to continue on his way, there lay his concubine, fallen in the doorway of the house, with her hands on the threshold. He said to her,
"Get up, let's go."
But there was no answer. Then he put her on his donkey and set out for home. When he reached home, he took a knife and cut up his concubine limb by limb into 12 parts and sent them into all the areas of Israel. Everyone who saw it said,
"Such a thing has never been seen or done, not since the day the Israelites came up out of Egypt."
Think about it. Consider it. Tell us what to do.
Then all the Israelites from Dan to Beersheba and from the land of Gilead came out with one accord and assembled before the Lord in Mizpah. The leaders of all the people of the tribes of Israel took their places in the assembly of the people of God. 400,000 soldiers armed with swords. The Benjamites heard that the Israelites had gone up to Mizpah. Then the Israelites said,
"Tell us how this awful thing happened."
So the Levite, the husband of the murdered woman, said,
"I and my concubine came to Gibeah in Benjamin to spend the night. During the night, the men of Gibeah came after me and surrounded the house, intending to kill me. They raped my concubine, and she died. I took my concubine, cut her into pieces, and sent one piece to each region of Israel's inheritance, because they committed this lewd and outrageous act in Israel. Now, all you Israelites, speak up and give your verdict."
All the people rose with one accord, saying,
"None of us will go home. No, not one of us will return to his house. But now this is what we'll do to Gibeah. We'll go up against it as the lot directs. We'll take 10 men out of every 100 from all the tribes of Israel, and 100 from 1,000, and 1,000 from 10,000 to get provisions for the army. Then, when the army arrives at Gibeah in Benjamin, it can give them what they deserve for this outrageous act done in Israel."
So all the Israelites got together and united against the city with one accord. The tribes of Israel sent messengers throughout the tribe of Benjamin, saying,
"What about this awful crime that was committed among you? Now turn those wicked men of Gibeah over to us, so that we may put them to death and purge the evil from Israel."
But the Benjamites would not listen to their fellow Israelites. From their towns they came together at Gibeah to fight against the Israelites. At once the Benjamites mobilized 26,000 swordsmen from their towns, in addition to 700 able young men from those living in Gibeah. Among all these soldiers there were 700 who were left-handed, each of whom could sling a stone at a hare and not miss. Israel, apart from Benjamin, mustered 400,000 swordsmen, all of them fighting men. The Israelites went up to Bethel and inquired of God. They said,
"Who of us is to go up first to fight against the Benjamites?"
The Lord replied,
"Judah shall go first."
The next morning, the Israelites got up and pitched camp near Gibeah. The Israelites went out to fight the Benjamites and took up battle positions against them at Gibeah. The Benjamites came out of Gibeah and cut down 22,000 Israelites on the battlefield that day. But the Israelites encouraged one another and again took up their positions where they had stationed themselves the first day. The Israelites went up and wept before the Lord until evening, and they inquired of the Lord. They said,
"Shall we go up again to fight against the Benjamites, our fellow Israelites?"
The Lord answered,
"Go up against them."
Then the Israelites drew near to Benjamin the second day. This time, when the Benjamites came out from Gibeah to oppose them, they cut down another 18,000 Israelites, all of them armed with swords. Then all the Israelites, the whole army, went up to Bethel, and there they sat weeping before the Lord. They fasted that day until evening and presented burnt offerings and fellowship offerings to the Lord. And the Israelites inquired of the Lord. In those days the Ark of the Covenant of God was there with Phinehas, son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, ministering before it. They asked,
"Shall we go up again to fight against the Benjamites, our fellow Israelites, or not?"
The Lord responded,
"Go, for tomorrow I will give them into your hands."
Then Israel set an ambush around Gibeah. They went up against the Benjamites on the third day and took up positions against Gibeah as they had done before. The Benjamites came out to meet them, and were drawn away from the city. They began to inflict casualties on the Israelites as before, so that about 30 of them fell in the open field and on the roads, the one leading to Bethel and the other to Gibeah, while the Benjamites were saying,
"We are defeating them as before."
The Israelites were saying,
"Let's retreat and draw them away from the city to the roads."
All the men of Israel moved from their places and took up positions at Baal Tamar, and the Israelite ambush charged out of its place on the west of Gibeah. Then 10,000 of Israel's able young men made a frontal attack on Gibeah. The fighting was so heavy that the Benjamites did not realize how near disaster was. The Lord defeated Benjamin before Israel, and on that day the Israelites struck down 25,100 Benjamites, all armed with swords. Then the Benjamites saw that they were beaten. Now the men of Israel had given way before Benjamin because they relied on the ambush they had set near Gibeah. Those who had been in ambush made a sudden dash into Gibeah, spread out, and put the whole city to the sword. The Israelites had arranged with the ambush that they should send up a great cloud of smoke from the city, and then the Israelites would turn in the battle. The Benjamites had begun to inflict casualties on the Israelites, about 30, and they said,
"We are defeating them as in the first battle."
But when the column of smoke began to rise from the city, the Benjamites turned and saw the smoke of the whole city going up into the sky. Then the Israelites turned on them, and the Benjamites were terrified because they realized that disaster had come on them. So they fled before the Israelites in the direction of the wilderness, but they could not escape the battle. And the Israelites who came out of the towns cut them down there. They surrounded the Benjamites, chased them, and easily overran them in the vicinity of Gibeah on the east. 18,000 Benjamites fell, all of them valiant fighters. As they turned and fled toward the wilderness to the Rock of Rimmon, the Israelites cut down 5,000 men along the roads. They kept pressing after the Benjamites as far as Gidom and struck down 2,000 more. On that day, 25,000 Benjamite swordsmen fell, all of them valiant fighters. But 600 men turned and fled into the wilderness to the Rock of Rimmon, where they stayed 4 months. The men of Israel went back to Benjamin and put all the towns to the sword, including the animals and everything else they found. All the towns they came across, they set on fire. The men of Israel had taken an oath at Mizpah.
"Not one of us will give his daughter in marriage to a Benjamite."
The people went to Bethel, where they sat before God until evening, raising their voices and weeping bitterly.
"Lord God of Israel," they cried, "why has this happened to Israel? Why should one tribe be missing from Israel today?"
Early the next day, the people built an altar and presented burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. Then the Israelites asked,
"Who from all the tribes of Israel has failed to assemble before the Lord?"
For they had taken a solemn oath that anyone who failed to assemble before the Lord at Mizpah was to be put to death. Now the Israelites grieved for Benjamin, one of their tribes.
"Today, one tribe is cut off from Israel,"
they said.
"How can we provide wives for those who are left, since we have taken an oath by the Lord not to give them any of our daughters in marriage?"
Then they asked,
"Which one of the tribes of Israel failed to assemble before the Lord at Mizpah?"
They discovered that no one from Jabesh-Gilead had come to the camp for the assembly. For when they counted the people, they found that none of the people of Jabesh-Gilead were there. So the assembly sent 12,000 fighting men with instructions to go to Jabesh-Gilead and put to the sword those living there, including the women and children.
"This is what you are to do,"
they said.
"Kill every male and every woman who is not a virgin."
They found among the people living in Jabesh-Gilead 400 young women who had never slept with a man, and they took them to the camp at Shiloh in Canaan. Then the whole assembly sent an offer of peace to the Benjamites at the Rock of Rimmon. So the Benjamites returned at that time and were given the women of Jabesh-Gilead who had been spared. But there were not enough for all of them. The people grieved for Benjamin because the Lord had made a gap in the tribes of Israel, and the elders of the assembly said,
"With the women of Benjamin destroyed, how shall we provide wives for the men who are left? The Benjamite survivors must have heirs,"
they said,
"so that a tribe of Israel will not be wiped out."
"We can't give them our daughters as wives, since we Israelites have taken this oath. Cursed be anyone who gives a wife to a Benjamite."
"But look, there is the annual festival of the Lord in Shiloh, to the north of Bethel and east of the road that goes from Bethel to Shechem and to the south of Labona."
So they instructed the Benjamites, saying,
"Go and hide in the vineyards and watch. When the young women of Shiloh come out to join in the dancing, then rush from the vineyards, and each of you seize a wife from the young women of Shiloh, and go to the land of Benjamin.